Well, we appreciate being here this morning, and we pray that the Lord would bless us as we look into the Word. Last week we studied about walking with God. We looked at different ones who've walked with God. Of course, we looked at Enoch and Noah and different ones. And this morning, I said then, if the Lord wills, we'd like to have a little series on this subject. And so this morning, in with that same thought of walking with God, we'll look at the idea of growth. You know, when we are born as a newborn babe in Christ, there's something alive in there. And something alive is really different than things that are dead. Things that are inanimate or don't have life, things that are dead or never had life or whatever they are, you can put them on a shelf and you can keep them for a long period of time and they'll be just the same, basically. You can keep them in a controlled atmosphere and keep them hid away where nobody can get them. And it'll be there when you come back. And you can keep a little toy or a little something shined up or a little special thing that you have and put it on a shelf. And years later, you can come back and dust it off and it'll be just the same. But when something is alive, you can't do that. From the moment it is born, from the moment conception starts, it has to be fed. And it has to be cared for from that time forward. And so this morning, our whole thought in all of this has been, we've had a number that have gotten saved in the late past. Some of them very recently. And we want the Lord to help you to be able to grow and to know how to grow. You are not a dead form of ideas or beliefs or thoughts. But if you have been born of the Lord and of His Spirit, you are alive. And that life must be cared for and fed from that moment on, or it will die. And so I think about religion. Religion is that way as well. You look at religions that have endured for centuries and you wonder, how could something so false last so long? Well, I'll tell you how. You just decide what it's going to be and this is the way it's going to be. And if enough people buy into that and you decide that's the way it's going to be, then that's your rules. And if anybody doesn't conform to that, you put them out. And that's the way. And it endures for centuries sometimes. That's the way something that is inanimate does. But if you want life and you want things to be alive, it's going to have to be different. The things that we teach may have many of the same words of life that those false religions have. But it's very different when it's alive. It's not something you can just put on the shelf and it'll be there just like that 20 years later. You've got to care for it. Because if you don't, it's not going to last. And so I want to encourage all of us, especially those that have gotten saved. You've got to care for your spiritual life. It has to be fed. It has to be protected. It has to be clothed. It has to be kept in a way that makes it able to endure the test of time. And in 1 Timothy 6 and 20, Paul said here to Timothy, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. I want to encourage us this morning, every one of us that has life in our souls, keep that is committed to your trust. Keep those things, those beliefs, those doctrines, those things, and keep that spiritual life alive. Because if we will do that, do you know if you maintain your body right and properly, normally you'll endure for the length of time that God allotted for us. Many, many years. If we take care of it like that. Folks, Our soul is the same way. And Timothy, Paul said, keep that's committed to your trust. Timothy, there's been some things committed to you. There's been eternal life in your soul. There's been doctrines that he said to keep those. He told Timothy, he said, how was that word for so? Keeping you saved, those that hear you, yourself and those that hear you concerning doctrine. Do you know this morning there are things committed to us today? The Word of God, here we have it. Let's keep that alive in our life that we might meet the Lord in peace. You remember in Genesis 2 and 7 it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know, from that time on, man, in our lifetime, all of us that are downstream from Adam, all of us that have succeeded him, we find that we've got to keep ourselves alive. We've got to keep ourselves fed. We've got to keep ourselves clean. We've got to keep ourselves preserved. We've got to keep ourselves from those things that would destroy us as well. And so this morning, I just want to look into that a little bit. A pretty simple idea here, but it's so necessary. Keep your soul alive. And what does that mean? I want to look into a little bit this morning. What's it mean? How do you keep your soul alive? And how do you have life in there? That's more than just a set of doctrines, more than just, well, I'm becoming a Christian. I'm going to be different now. I'm going to do different. I'm going to dress different. I'm going to go different places. I'm going to try to do everything I can to please the Lord. But you know what? There's more than that, because you can have all of those things and still not have life. So there's something that has to be there more than that. And so this morning, let's look at a few scriptures. 1 Peter 2 and 2 and 3. Listen to what this says. And I want to dwell on this a little bit. 1 Peter 2 and 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, let's just look at this scripture a little bit, because this Peter was telling them a lot in these two little scriptures here. He says, as newborn babes. Now, we know at the very outset, we've already said there has to be life for there to be what's going to meet the Lord in peace. There has to be eternal life in the soul, a born again experience. But when that happens, he says, desire the sincere milk of the word. You know what that word desire means? I looked it up in the Greek, and it says here, listen to this, to yearn, to dote upon. That is intensely crave possession, earnestly desire, greatly long after. Lust. Lust means a desire, a strong desire for something. And this is in a good way. And he says to have that strong desire after the sincere or the pure milk of the Word. The pure Word of God. Not what tickles our ears, not what's the easiest thing to do, but that we desire and that we set our desire on the good things of God. Now, every one of us have desires and lots of them. But you know, it is up to us, and the Lord works with us in all this, I know. But it is up to us to set our desires on things that are good. Do you know, we desire things, there's a lot of things that are good, that are lawful, that can become very overwhelming and take the place of the desire for the things of God. You know, it is up to us to make sure that we maintain in our life, all our life through, from the day we're born into the Lord to the day we die. It is our job to be sure that our desires for the things of God are paramount. They're top. That nothing else. There's a lot of other things that there isn't a lot wrong with. There isn't anything wrong with. We just have to keep them in their place. and make sure that we can desire, that in our heart we have that, what's it say? That yearning, that intense craving, that earnest desire, greatly long after, that those things remain boiling in our life. We may not always feel like they're boiling, but I will tell you, folks, if we want to preserve our life until the Lord comes back, straight through all the way, do you know that's possible? Do you know that's what God expects? That's what He wants? That's what He desires? Then, folks, let's get in there and desire and crave and long after and yearn after, and we'll study some things that are all part of this. What's it mean to desire the sincere milk of the Word? He's referring to babes here. He's referring to babies. That, you know, when do you tell them it's time to eat? They just crave it, don't they? You know, we do too, if there are not other things that come in and crowd that out. And if we allow that natural thing that God put within us to work, it will work in us a real craving for the things of God. Nurture that craving. Be in service. The Lord tells us plainly not to forsake assembling of ourselves together, doesn't it? He tells us plainly those things. He tells us to pray. He tells us a number of things that we'll look at. But desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? That ye may grow thereby. The Lord wants us to change. He wants us to come into the kingdom of God as a babe, but He doesn't want us to stay there. It would be an awful thing to see a 40-year-old baby, wouldn't it? Or 60-year-old or whatever. But you know, this morning, the Lord wants us to grow. There's a natural process that you have gotten saved. I want to tell you something this morning. He has thoughts for you. He has plans for you. And it's not just to stay at, well, I got saved. I got saved. Now I've just got to fight to keep this thing. I got to somehow fight to keep those things in my life. Folks, feed your soul. I'll tell you, when you talk to people and you start working with them, why have I fallen again? You know what always comes up almost every time? Well, you've been reading, you've been studying, you've been praying, you've been looking to the Lord. Well, not really. I really haven't. You know, folks, if we're going to make it successfully to see the Lord in peace, then let's take it upon us that from now on, every day of our life, that we're going to walk with the Lord. We're going to begin to pray to Him. We're going to feed from His Word in our personal devotions. We're going to be in service and feed from His Word there. And you know, when we first begin as a babe in Christ, and we are just starting, we just go and we just enjoy the Word. That's a wonderful thing. That's what babies do. They just enjoy the food. But that's not what God plans for us to be doing for a long period of time. He wants us to keep doing that, but add to it growth. And that happens from God. That happens. We don't grow ourselves. We feed. We feed from the Word. We look to the Lord. We desire the sincere milk of the Word. We have our devotions always. We follow the Lord. I know there's times that somebody died and we have to get up and run off. Our heart will still be praying inside. I want to tell you, we form a pattern of life that says, I'm going to feed this thing. The rest of my life. And you know what? If we will do that, we'll see the Lord in peace. One day He'll come and it'll be the last day. And we've been walking with Him all that time, just day by day. Not necessarily anything where we have anything to brag about. Just walking with the Lord. Eating from His Word. Doing His will. And we grow. And you know what? When you begin to grow, things begin to change, don't they? You're no longer contented to lay in the bassinet. You've got to crawl around. And you've got to see things. And you've got to start poking your nose around and looking at everything. Sometimes babies get in trouble even, don't they? And that's okay sometimes. We learn, don't we? We have to learn. That's okay. But you know what? It's a natural process. Let's let that process work in our life. The Lord wants it to be so. I wish that I could put what I'm saying and what I'm thinking in your heart this morning. But only you can do that. Only you can desire the milk of the word that you're hearing this morning. Only you can put that into your life and say, I intensely desire that. And I'm going to put that in my life. I will tell you what will happen. I'll tell you what will happen. We was out at Brother Jim Wall's the other day. And we was looking out the back window. And there were three big green lines going around the property. And then there was one place that was all barren. And you know what? You know what that was? That was the septic lines. They were watering the earth there and feeding it, actually. And you know what? It was plain to see that it was getting moisture when everything around it wasn't getting so much moisture. And on the septic tank itself, where there was no moisture at all, it was all brown. Completely a different picture. Do you know this morning our lives are like that? Do you know it is evident who drinks and who doesn't? That's not our job to judge that. But you know, it's evident to the Lord for sure. And it's really evident to ourselves if we look at it. The Lord wants us to have something more than an old, brown, dried up. I'm here. I've got this ground. Folks, the Lord wants us to have a life. All the rest of our life. But I will tell you this. It will be because it's tended to. And because it's fed and watered. And because it's cared for. And carefully watched for. If we have that. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Do you know that when we have more than one master, whatever it is in our life, and there's many things that will master people, and there's many things that will master us, unless we let the Lord master us, and He becomes number one in our life, and we take that. And so this morning, let's look back over at 2 Timothy 3. And 15. And that from a child. Now here's Paul writing again to Timothy again. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I know this is talking about two kinds of children that I'm fixing to talk about. There's a physical child and there's a spiritual child. Do you know that the first verse we read there, where it talks about, it wasn't the first, but as newborn babes, that's talking about infants. And if you look that up in Strong's, it's very clear that speaks of infants, little babies. In fact, in some instances, even unborn. But it's the same word that is used here that we just read in 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Do you know that's talking about that little infant? The same word used in Luke 2 where it says, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so, you know, from the very start, we want to teach our little children, don't we? The Holy Scriptures. They're able to make them wise unto salvation. They're able to help them not to get carried off with the ideas that are prevalent in today's society. And they're able to do that, aren't they? The Lord help us today that we be as children growing in the things of God. The Spirit and the Word of God gives life. And I want to say this, in with this little study. You know, sometimes we think some of us don't know anything about it. But the Lord saves us when we come and we repent. And we come back to Him after that. And it don't have to be a long time, and shouldn't be a long time after that, folks. We take a real chance on our souls, but we come back to the Lord and present that clean vessel now that He has cleansed. And we present that to the Lord, that He would give us the Holy Spirit and would cleanse our heart by faith. And so if we stop in that growth process and we don't go on unto perfection, and we don't go on and let the Lord have our entire life, I will tell you, we'll never make it in the long run, most likely. So I want to encourage us today that we don't stop, but that we learn to walk with the Lord. We learn the Scriptures. You know what Paul said here to Timothy that we just read? Timothy, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Those Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Do you know that's what Scripture does for us? I want to encourage us this morning to get to know the Scriptures. I hate to see someone that has lived for the Lord 20 years or so and don't know the Scriptures. We should know especially the New Testament, not only, but especially. We should know what it says. We should eat it daily. Not one part of it, not the part we like, but all of it. It'll bring health to our souls. Learn the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. Later we may talk a little more about meditating on the Scriptures. You know, to me, the best illustration I know of for meditating on Scriptures is the way a cow eats food. How many stomachs does a cow have? It really has one. But that stomach is divided into four parts. And do you know that food that the cow eats, it just don't go in and digest just like we digest our food. But it goes through one. And then it belches it back up, and it chews on that. It munches on it, or whatever you want to call it. And it does that. And you know, it goes through four processes. But that's the way meditating on the Word of the Lord is this morning. I want to encourage us, if you want to grow in the Lord, then meditate and learn to meditate on the Word of the Lord. Learn to The word meditate means to turn over in our mind. It means to, I can't remember exactly, I looked it up at some point, but the word meditate is to turn and revolve and let that be in your mind. Yeah. Do you know this morning, it might be better sometimes for us to take one verse in a morning and let that revolve in our mind and meditate on it and think about what it means. Lord, how does this affect my life? And I know many times we'll read a whole chapter, but you know, the Lord wants us that the Word becomes food to our souls. And that it doesn't mean just coming to church and that being so, but that means at home daily. If we want to make it all the way, and we want to make, then let's go the full process. And let's let the Lord work in our lives. I want to tell you, the way of the Lord is not only a good way, but it is a most excellent way. And it has such good dividends and fruit all the way through. I want to encourage us this morning that we get to know the Lord and get to know His Word. Let it live in our life. Study the Word. I know sometimes we may read here and there, but I want to encourage you sometimes also read all the way through the whole, especially the New Testament. Read through it chapter by chapter. There's things you'll pick up in there that will just increase your soul. It'll increase your appetite even as you go. Learn the Scriptures, study them. Pray for God to make them alive to us and teach us from them. And I'm just hitting a little bit on each one of these. We may come back later and do a whole study on some of these. But I want to think about learning to pray effectually. We all know, most of us know the Scripture in James 5 and 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You ever munched on that? Think about that. The effectual, what does it mean? Effectual, fervent prayer? That's what it says. An effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. It does a lot of good. It avails much. And you know, when you think about that, you realize and recognize, hey, I've got weapons here in my arsenal that I knew nothing of. And so prayer is way more than doing our duty every day. Folks, prayer is a mighty weapon of God. It brings down things. It brings down strongholds. Prayer and fasting is another thing. Those things, they matter, don't they? It matters to the Lord. When you look at the first chapter of Psalms, you see what we're talking about prayer and meditation. The psalmist here in the first chapter tells us that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's turned away from the wrong things, and he's placed his full delight and yearning and all those things on the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. But I love the last part of this psalm. This to me is one of my favorite places in the Bible. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind bloweth, driveth away. Do you know that's what the Scriptures tell us about meditating and seeking the Lord this morning? Now I want to ask you something. Are we doing this? And are we living a life of meditation on the Word and prayer to the Lord and humble devotion to God in our whole life? I'm just going to ask you that. You don't need to answer me, but I'd like you to answer yourself. If you say no, you're going to have spiritual troubles all the way. At best, you're going to have a hard time. But I want to tell you, if you'll begin to meditate on the words of the Lord, there is something that begins to happen. And he said, you'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And what would that mean? It means something that begins to grow. It has green leaves. It's growing out, or whatever leaves it has. And there's growth that happens there, isn't there? And so, when we see that, I think, Lord, let it be so. Only you and I can do that for ourselves. No one else can. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I urge you in your studies to stop and meditate on that verse. And think about it. Let it revolve in your mind. Maybe think about it for a few days and let it be your study. Okay, Lord, what's it mean now? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man? There's a lot said right there. Availeth much. And you know, when we begin to study that and let that live within us, I want to tell you something. There's growth that just happens. That's not something we do. That's something that God put in us. The growth just happens. The meditating, the turning over in our hearts and minds, the praying to the Lord, the yearning for God, that's something we do. That's given to us to do. So the Lord help us this morning. Listen to this other scripture over here in Philippians 4 and 6 to 8. This is a real common scripture too. This is a good one to munch on. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry. Don't be anxious. That's kind of hard for us, isn't it? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now, how do we pray? It's kind of giving us an idea here, isn't it? Don't worry and sit and think about your problems. Think about God and what your problems are in relation to His power. And it says here, be careful, but in everything by prayer and supplication, earnest, fervent prayer. Well, I already prayed it once. Well, I noticed that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed the same thing several times, didn't he? Now, he urges us not to try to pray 100 times in a row because, thinking that that's going to bring something down. But folks, when our heart is crying out to God over and over, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, give me the strength I need for the battle that I see. Lord, give me the wisdom that I need. I don't have the wisdom in myself, and I need you to help me that I don't make critical errors. You know, when we look to the Lord like that, He's moved on His throne, is He not? And so, yes, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And what follows the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That'll keep us happy there. It'll keep us out of trouble. Meditate on those things. Let that be where our mind goes. Let that be where we closely follow after the Lord. And I will tell you something. What will happen naturally following that. And that'll be growth. There'll be green grass in our yard. There'll be green leaves on our tree. There'll be fruit on our branches when it's required. When it's supposed to be there, there'll be fruit. That's the way of the Lord. And so this morning, I hope we get a picture of the difference between inanimate, on a shelf, kept. Here it is, Lord. I've kept it for you. Here's your words. Here's the book. Here's what I'm going by. So different than, Lord, I'm so glad to see you. My very heart is alive with the things of God. We want that, don't we? The Lord help us today. You know, we not only pray, we not only read. Those are privileges that we have. But it says in 2 Peter 1 and 5 to 8, you know, we add good things to our life. Now, I'm just thinking about from a newborn babe. Where do we go from there? We begin to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Earnestly desire. That word, don't put it all in there. Read the Greek. Earnestly desire. In your meditating study, what's that mean? Desire the sincere. Earnestly desire the sincere milk of the Word. And so we find here, we begin then to add things. In verse 2 Peter 1 and 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Munch on that a while. I'm not going to try to go into all these very much, but munch on that. You know what virtue means? Look it up in your concordance. What's virtue? It means manliness. It means strength, ardor. And he tells us to add that to ourselves. You know, when we first get saved, maybe we feel like we're the weakest person on earth. Anything could blow us over. But you know what? Start drinking the milk of the Word. Start praying to God. Start asking God to add to your life. Lord, help me to be strong. Your Scripture tells me to be strong and to quit yourselves like men. Your Scripture tells me that. Now, Lord, help me to do that. And you know, as we do that, there's something real natural that begins to happen. And our life begins to grow in strength and effectiveness. And we begin to change. Because, folks, we're not always wanting to be babies. Somebody needs to be preparing the meal. Somebody needs to be bringing in things for others. There has to be a time when we grow up and assume responsibilities. And I'll tell you, the Lord requires it of us as well. So not only is this our privilege, it is the responsibility that God has given to you and I. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You know, knowledge of God, knowledge of His Word. Begin to understand. There's so many scriptures you could add to this. You know, there's an exercising of ourselves to discern between good and evil that babes don't have many times. They don't know the difference yet, but I will tell you, begin to learn to exercise yourself in the knowledge of God. Lord, what pleases you? How are you going to do that? How are we going to have knowledge if we don't have knowledge? Well, I'll tell you, we learn, don't we? We begin to exercise ourselves. We begin to call upon God. Lord, fill me with your thoughts. Teach me your ways. Show me your paths. And as we begin to judge life situations, He puts in our path others that have gone down the road before us that can help us with those things. And we begin to rightly divide the word of truth. Something the whole world is mixed up on. They really are, aren't they? And so we add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. You know, when we first get saved, we're just saved. We're just who we were yesterday. Now the Lord has forgiven our sins and we're starting a new walk. And there's a lot to add to it. Maybe we're very intemperate people in our lives. Many of us have been. But I want to tell you, the Lord wants to temper us. He wants us to be tempered by the Lord, by His pricks, by His checks, by the power of the Spirit of the Lord. And how do we add this? By calling upon God. Lord, I need to be tempered here. I'm not tempered enough. Lord, I need you. And we begin to call upon Him and work on ourselves. It's all part of the growth process, is it not? That's our part. His part is we begin to grow. And we begin to gain strength, understanding, wisdom, and help from the Lord. And to temperance, patience. Everybody here, were you all born with patience? Is patience your virtue? Probably not. You know what, this morning, we have to learn patience, don't we? We have to be patient with the Lord. Lord, why didn't you answer that prayer? I prayed yesterday for you to give me that new car. And it didn't come. You know what? That's what a baby will do. That's what a baby will do sometimes. And you have to understand, maybe that wasn't best. Maybe it wasn't what the Lord wanted to give. And we learn to be patient with the Lord. Lord, why didn't you work that out? I think it should be worked out. Well, be patient. I've got an eternal picture, and I'm wanting to take you to heaven to be with me for eternity. And so it matters a lot more than what you want right now or what you want to be worked out right now. Lord, I want that problem out of my life. And he's saying, no. No, Paul, I'm not going to take that problem out of your life. You need that to get you to heaven. You need that problem. And so, you know, the Lord is looking at things quite differently than we are this morning. So we grow and we add temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. And we learn to start learning how to show brotherly kindness, how to love one another, how to overcome our difficulties with that kind of thing. To brotherly kindness, charity, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we allow these things to be in our life and seek for them and add them to our life, there is a whole growth process that begins to happen that causes us to not be unfruitful, but rather to be fruitful in the things of the Lord. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. That's our privilege, isn't it? Maybe we'll add one more to this morning, and we'll just have to finish later, I suppose. 2 Peter 3 and 18. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But you know, he tells us to grow in grace. What is grace anyway? Well, grace is unmerited favor of God. Wait a minute. Have you looked it up to see what grace is in the original Greek? Grace is no doubt unmerited favor, but I will tell you what else it is. It says, this is out of Strong's Concordance, the Greek, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. That's grace. But grow in grace. That divine influence upon our heart, its reflection in our life, the way we live, in our attitudes, in our spirit, in the things that we desire, in the things that we allow into our life. We grow in those things, don't we? The Lord wants us to grow in that way. And I want to encourage us this morning that we might grow and change. That we might grow and change. The Lord doesn't want us to always be a babe in Christ. He wants us to grow up. You know, it's natural for us to change. As a human, as a physical being, we change what we eat, don't we? We drink milk at first. But there comes a time that it's time to grow beyond that. We change how we eat. We change how much we eat. We change when we eat. Our responsibilities change. You know what our responsibilities are when we're born? Nothing. Just eat. Just keep clean. Just eat. Everybody else does the work. But folks, it's not supposed to continue like that. So I'm going to stop here because there's a lot to add to that I'll either go long or not get it. So the Lord help us this morning that we will grow in the things of God. Oh, folks, the things of God are good things. They bring peace to your life. They bring life to your life. They bring purpose to your life. Let's see the value and decide early on, I'm going to grow in the things of God. I'm not going to remain a baby anymore. I'm going to learn to walk with God. I'm going to learn what it means to become an effectual and a fervent prayer warrior that can pray things down. I want to tell you what I have seen, and I believe this with all my heart. There are those that know the Lord closer than other people do that know the Lord. I've seen that. When Jesus was in the temple as a little baby, and there was Anna, and there was Simeon, and how did they know this little baby was the Christ? But they did, didn't they? They had discernment that other people that may have known the Lord didn't have. They were she continually was fasting and praying in the temple. Well, you know, this morning, I really believe myself, the sky's the limit. Folks, we can walk with God. Enoch walked with God until the Lord just took him on. I'd love to walk with God like that. You know, and I do walk with God. But you know, this morning, that's beautiful, isn't it? Let's let the Lord be in our life like that. We'll have to apply ourselves to do that. You pray for me this morning.